ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, fans of all ages, it's your favorite time of the week. You might need to brace yourself and grab a cold beverage. Mark and Scott are ready to drop some college football betting knowledge on your ass. The boys are back and ready to help you find some angles to beat your book, impress your friends, and get you ready to enjoy the greatest sport on the planet. So sit back and enjoy, because we're damn happy to have you. Welcome to the Crazy Sheet.
Welcome back, everybody, to a Friday edition of the Crazy Sheet. You don't get them very often. It's my fault. I was a little sick this week and could not get on the microphone until we got to Thursday night. Sorry we couldn't get some action plays out, some Tulane plays out. I'm better now. I'm at home. Scotty's at home. Scotty, brother, how the hell are you?
And I'm good. Got home tonight. Getting ready to get on it. Speaking of action, I was a little nervous that my Ohio line was not going to come through when Rourke got hurt. They were drilling Ball State, and then he got hurt, and I'm like, oh, this could be a problem. But I held on. Field goal kicks got me through, baby. Got me through. So pretty fired up about that. I did like Tulane tonight, but it's easy to say that when they're up 35 the last time I checked. So, you know, it's, you know, easy to say that in hindsight, but I did like the Green Wave, although they let me down last week, not getting it done against UCF. So they got the bounce back on the short week.
Not as bad as Fresno last week. They gave up a field goal with 10 seconds left against UNLV to not get the cover in that game. I was like, what in the fuck is going on, man? It's just college football's hard, brother. I mean, the NFL's real hard. College football's getting harder. But, man, Scotty, we got some good – this board this week kind of sucks. I'm not going to lie to you. It's not my favorite board that we've ever looked at.
No, this board is not – this board is not nearly – not even close to my fave. But, you know, that's the way it is at this time of year. I mean, everybody's getting ready for next weekend. It's interesting that the Pac-12 has rolled this weekend to go rivalry weekend.
But they shit the bed last week. They totally shit the bed as a conference last week.
Oh, totally shit the bed last week. But you knew that was coming. Hey, the conference isn't any good. Mark, there were people in the national media trying to tell us that Oregon should be in the playoff. Were you asleep Labor Day weekend? I mean, did you just not – oh, they've gotten better. They have gotten 50 points better. That's the same group of jackasses that tried to tell us when Sam Darnold was at USC and Bama just gas cans them that opening weekend at Jerry World. They're like, oh, they should get in the playoff. I'm like, great, so we can watch Bama beat them by 50. I'm like, I don't need to see. Let me tell you who's not going to win the Natty. I know who is not going to beat Georgia. Oregon. Positive about that. I'm 100% positive about that. Don't know if Michigan will. Don't know if Ohio State will. Don't know if TCU will. I know who isn't. Oregon. Because they ain't going to make up 50 points. That team was not remotely close to Georgia. Not remotely close in any phase of that ball game. So I don't need to see those guys again, and that they were trying to offer that up. And then I listened to a guy this week, and man, y'all, you know I like the Pac-12.
So I love the Pac-12.
I sound like I'm ripping on them, and I'm really not, but these national media guys just drive me bananas. They're like, I mean, you look at how good the Pac-12 is. Why are they getting degraded so much when a middle-of-the-road team gets beat and blah, blah, blah? I'll tell you why. Because one of the three best teams in that league went to Florida, who's average at best, and lost. That's why. You want to know why you're not measuring up? One of your best teams goes and loses by 50. Another one goes on the road and loses to an average football team because Florida is average. I mean, they're Mississippi State. Mississippi State goes on the road, drills a mid-level Pac-12, basically, because Arizona and Mississippi State really from size-wise are not that much different in the league. They're both bottom half teams in the conference, and State just drills them on the road. That game's not – that's why the Pac-12 doesn't get any love. No, they're doing it to themselves.
Yeah, I would agree. Now, this week, had we recorded on Wednesday night, we would have given you a play. that I think was actionable, and it's come out now. Got some guys that we talked to, get some news information, whatnot, and I get this note Tuesday as I'm laying there in bed feeling like dog shit that Bo Nix is not going to play. And I was like, Now, we get some news occasionally from folks, and you got to kind of dig in. And then today it kind of leaks out to the national media, and then by today it hit Vegas, obviously, because that line is now flipped, and Utah is the favorite in that game. And that's a huge game in the Pac-12 this week. You got two huge games. You got Utah-Oregon, and you got UCLA-USC. Arguably, maybe the two best games of the weekend are both taking place in the Pac-12. Those teams keep it on the rails last couple of weeks. I mean, we're all watching the Pac-12 this week. Instead, UCLA loses to Arizona. Come on, man. You got to get it done. I know they were looking ahead. And then the one thing I don't want to hear, because who am I pulling for to beat USC this week would be UCLA. And what's DTR come out and say this week? We're going to score 60 on these guys. We're going to put it out there. I'm like, that's what you're going to do? I mean, against the best offense in the country, minus maybe Tennessee, you're going to come out and scoreboard these motherfuckers the week you're going to play them. And I'm like, and I mean, I know last year they had a shot to win the game. It went crazy. But, man, it's like, keep your mouth shut and just go get it done on the field. It's like, you gave them some ammo to get it done. I do think UCLA's rushing attack is going to cause all kinds of problems for a USC. Their defense is atrocious, and I think Charbonnet and DTR are going to absolutely run all over these guys. But at the same time, USC can get it done. The back end of that UCLA defense it's been shown to be a little shaky at times, so it's going to be interesting. There's some great games out west this week. Those are the games I'm most excited about watching, and they start so fucking late. You better take you some – I mean, what was that shit we used to take back in high school? No-dos? You better get you some no-dos if you want to watch the Pac-12 After Dark this week. I mean, that was the stuff we used to take when I was like 12 years old, thinking we were getting high, just eating you some no-dos, right? just get you some – I was drinking no-dos and Tom Collins mix, thinking I was getting high back in the day. Just drinking me some caffeine and some sugar, weighing about 104 pounds, feeling like I was jittered up, like I was on speed or something.
No, dude. Oh, you just dropped something on me from the past right there. That is hilarious. The other thing that we can't forget on the Pac-12 this week, the band will be back on the field, baby. They are back on the field. Which, how terrible is that game? Those teams are almost as bad this year as they were back when the band was on the field in 82 or 83.
I think you got to take Cal in this game. I mean, Stanford has not scored. I think Stanford's only scored 20 points once in the last like 8 games or something like that. In one game, they had 15 points, and that was 5 field goals. I think you got to take Cal if you're going to bet this game, just because I feel like they're still trying to do something offensively. This Stanford team, I came into the season thinking with the quarterback play, they were going to be able to air it out. We saw the USC game, first game of the year. They were moving the ball pretty good. They got shut down after Emmett Smith's kid got hurt a little bit. But, man, that's going to be
a
rough
game to watch. Are they going to fire David Shaw?
Do what?
Are they going to fire David Shaw?
No, I think they like paying him $8.5 million. I mean, that's what I would do.
I mean, you're not serious about winning. Because they've been, I'd say, average at best. And they're not very good. I mean, that is not a very good football team. Scott, I mean, they are bad. I mean, if they're playing in the SEC, they'd be getting beat like Vandy gets beat some weeks.
Speaking of Vandy, how about that last weekend?
How about that game? Ended a 20. That was the first time they'd won a Southeastern Conference game since 2019.
Woohoo, man.
Man, they were, it ended like a 25 straight Power Five losing streak. That is 25 or 26 games. That is a huge win for Vandy.
Oh, man. That's like a fat guy finding pussy for the first time in 3 years, man. He'd never seen it before. They didn't even know what to do with that stuff in Nashville. I'm telling you, I looked up at the score on the ticker on that, and I was like, that can't be right. It's like I thought somebody typed it in wrong. I was like, holy shit, Vandy won that game.
Well, and the deal was when Kentucky scored, you know, what was that, with 4 minutes left or whatever? You think, okay, this is it. They've dodged the bullet. They've scored. And then Vandy goes on like an 18-play drive to win it. I mean, it wasn't like they got a big play. They just drove it right down their throat. to win the ball game. So kudos to Clark Lee and the Commodores getting them a dub last week. That was great. The battle of the Bulldogs. I want to talk about this. That was the State's offense just cannot go in this league against great teams. And I was telling someone what I think it is, and it's the linebacker play, Mark. The linebackers in the Southeastern Conference are so much longer and so much more athletic than any other league, and there's so little room on those crossing routes that have always been the bailout in the Leach offense. And the windows are so much narrower. And I think it's struggling. Now, look, some of it was quarterback play last week, without a doubt. Rodgers missed some guys. He missed some open guys. But State's defense, I actually thought, played well enough to win that ball game. I mean, they got tired and they got exposed kind of at the end. But, I mean, you can't make Georgia go three and out when it's a – I guess at the time it was a nine-point game. You can't make them go three and out, then turn it right back to them three and out. Then your defense creates a turnover, and you answer it with a nice three and out. I mean, you can't do that on a home game playing the number one team in the country if you're going to cover. I ain't talking about winning. I never thought State was going to win the game. I just thought had a chance to cover. State did have a chance to cover, and they just completely wet the bed. The exact opposite of what Lane Kiffin did, going out there and almost won that ball game, had a chance to win. And I want to tell you how much he sounded like Nick Saban in that press conference. I mean, his cadence in every – go back and watch that when he's telling that reporter about playing close and all that. You close your eyes and he sounds like Saban, what he's saying. So, anyway, going to be fascinated to see. I think Jimmy is working his magic and getting – I think he's going to get paid – to stay in Oxford, and I think another Jimmy Sexton client will end up in Auburn, if I had to guess, because I have watched this unfold in the Southeastern Conference about a dozen times, and the Rebels have been on the receiving end of it with Freeze about three times. So Sexton is just working it, getting all those Memphis boys to write checks for Ole Miss, and he's going to get paid, and he's going to get another coach in there at Auburn is my guess.
If you don't know who Jimmy Sexton is, he is the power agent of college football. I think he represents almost every coach in the SEC. Now he's moved into the Big 12. I think he's got a couple in the ACC. He manipulates those salaries. Now, the one thing that's interesting about the coaching moves is you got to figure out who's going to come. Now, by the way, before I go on this tangent, Cadillac Williams.
Man,
I'm not saying he's going to be the next coach at Auburn, but if you don't hire him to put him on the staff when you get the next coaching job, you missed the boat, my friend. Like, whoever they hire, if they don't keep Cadillac on the staff, I'm going to be blown away.
Cadillac's going to get a job pretty quick, I think, with the job he's done. And it's more of his excitement level and just getting the kids focused and ready to play. I mean, they look so much better than they've looked. If he's their coach the whole year, they wouldn't be in this situation.
I like Auburn this week. I think Auburn this week against Western Kentucky, I mean, it's a throwaway game for everybody. I mean, this is throwaway weekend in the SEC for a lot of teams. The last 2 weeks have been. They've got Western Kentucky. Western Kentucky can fling it all over the field. I think the game's probably going to go over, but -5, I think Auburn's going to lean on these guys. They get a win here, and next week for the Iron Bowl is going to be interesting. Do I think they can win? I don't know, but there's many times I thought they couldn't win, and they've pulled it out. And, I mean, he's playing every game like it's a Super Bowl. And those kids look like they want to play for him, even the game they lost 2 weeks ago. I mean, he's moving this thing in the right direction. So it's going to be interesting, absolutely. And the one thing I will say about Jimmy Sexton in the coaching circle is most of you may have read this already if you follow college football. It's going to be interesting. I think Lane Kiffin's going to be the next coach at Alabama, personally. I think Saban is going to be the kingmaker, and he's going to anoint who he wants to put in there. I think the only two coaches in the country, maybe three, I don't know what he would say about Daboll because I haven't heard him talk about him, but I think Sarkisian, but Sarkisian's got a great job at Texas, assuming he keeps it on the rails. But I think Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss, but what's interesting about this is, and the people at Ole Miss are nervous about keeping Lane Kiffin because the state of Mississippi has something in their constitution that nobody can have an employment contract. I think, is it over 5 or over 6 years?
And so, it's over 4 years.
Is it over four years? Yeah.
Yep.
And this was something that they went back when Hugh Freeze was the coach. Was it Hugh Freeze or Dan Mullen? But they actually petitioned them to change the state constitution so they could offer a longer deal to these coaches, and they voted it down. And so it's going to be interesting.
Now, I will tell you that the private, you know, the foundations and all of that make those contracts. They are not governed by that. So the boosters make a deal that's longer anyway. So they do kind of circumvent it, but you're right. The university is not tied to it.
It's going to be interesting, but there's a lot still going on. November has been nuts. I think there's still more to come. I'm pretty excited about things that are coming up. And Scotty, man, it's going to be so much fun. The national championship, we don't talk about it much, about rankings, everything else. Bro, it's going to be fantastic. I mean, you got TCU in there. You've got Tennessee in there. You got Georgia in there. I think Alabama's eliminated. I think LSU still has a shot. If USC wins, you got to scratch your head and figure out, are they good enough to get in this thing? And so there's a lot going on. And then you still got to go all the way up north the next weekend when Michigan and Ohio State play. And that's going to be a war. I'm looking forward to that game.
Mark,
I think Michigan's got them.
I've been telling you this for a couple of weeks. I've been telling you this for a couple of weeks. People in college football need to be getting ready to lose their damn mind. Because you're about to have a Big Ten SEC 14 playoff.
You may be right. You think it's going to be Georgia, Tennessee?
If TCU loses,
they're out.
If TCU loses, they're out.
Yeah.
Georgia, Tennessee, Ohio State, Michigan, all four of those teams, and they're right back in it. And people are going to lose their minds. Let me tell you, that's probably the four best teams in the country. They will have accomplished what their goal was. The only team that could break it up, TCU's winning enough games because they're winning some of these games on the road. That is candidly what has impressed me with TCU. And same thing, you know, this weekend. They win that ball game. They continue to impress you. They're going to have to beat somebody a second time to go. If they go undefeated, they're clearly in. They still have an argument if they lose, but it's going to be so easy to bounce them out and put those four teams in. And I can't wait to watch the meltdown. Just completely watch a meltdown.
Yeah, if TCU,
because I'm going to tell you that I think Michigan's going to beat them. I think Michigan's the better football team, and then Ohio State's going to be here. They are 11-1, having beaten Notre Dame. You know, because take the record out of it. They're clearly the best team in the ACC because they've whipped the shit out of everybody up there that's close to them. So they're clearly the best team in the ACC. And then you're going to have a team that beat them. His only loss is to number two. And then you're going to have Tennessee, whose only loss is to number one. It is going to be complete and utter meltdown mode for Danny Cannell and all the other people who hate the 14 playoff. And I think it's going to be glorious because you've been able to see this coming for about 3 weeks because it is right on the horizon.
Oh, it's going to be fantastic. I agree with you. If we get a Tennessee, Georgia, Michigan, Ohio State Final Four, I mean, everybody's going to be upset, especially if you've got a – let's say you've got a 12-1 TCU, you've got a 12-1 USC. I mean
– people will be losing their mind. They'll be losing their mind. But, I mean, does anybody really think that SC should be in there? Because I don't think SC's better than any of those four teams I just mentioned. Tennessee may be the only team they're better than because I think they're the same. They both have great offenses and terrible defenses.
I would tell you Tennessee's defense is much better than USC's defense.
Yeah, it's much better, but it's still not very good. Of course, I said that about TCU's a couple of weeks ago, and here they are playing good. I mean, hell, they didn't even let Texas at home score in the first half. So, I mean, kind of tells you what you're getting out of them. They won that ball game Saturday night on defense. So, I mean, it's just a different – and did you hear your man, Dykes, giving your DC some love? Yeah. Talking about how great he was and how important he was to the success of the team and all that was hilarious. That you've been touting him for 2 weeks. It was funny to listen to it.
I've been touting Gillespie all season, brother. I mean, that's why I took him at 6.5 over wins. That thing cashed. My only question is, we got some friends from TCU that listen to the podcast. If Sonny Dykes gets him into the Natty, are we going to build a second coach statue on campus? I mean, can we put Fat Gary right next to Sonny, Lisping Sonny Dykes? Because I would love to see that. I love Sonny to death, man. He's a good dude. But yeah, I was Gary put a pretty good defense together against TCU for a good while. He shut them down. But the TCU team, man, I love Max Duggan. I mean, I remember when that kid had like the drop foot and some injuries, and he was still getting it done. He's just a trooper. And there's probably three or four skill position players on that team. They're going to be playing the NFL. I mean, they've got some talent on that team. I can't imagine what the recruiting class is going to look like going into next year with being able to pull some NIL money, being able to get some players in there, what they've been doing. I mean, it's going to be scary how good TCU can get it done. Can we not walk away from this and talk about how good Texas A&M is? Because this is – holy shit.
Mark, I'm telling you. He may get fired.
I mean, good God.
He may get fired. They are terrible. And so everybody's dumb. Like, well, he's got to go get a coordinator. Who the hell's going to come work in that? Nobody. You got 1 year. Jimbo ain't going to turn it over to you. You're going to have to run his system. You're going to, if you are a good and up-and-coming coordinator, you're going to just smooth-ass derail your career. I mean, nobody's coming down there. That's a, well, go get Jeff Levy. He's struggling. His ass ain't leaving OU. I don't care how big of a dumpster fire OU is. He's not leaving to go. That's jumping from the frying pan to the frying pot. I mean, it's just, you got to be kidding me. I mean, it is crazy what they're talking about. Oh, and I keep telling everybody, you got to remember, they got a $9 billion endowment. Money is not a problem in College Station. Not a problem, especially right now with the oil business being the way it is. It is not a problem. And everybody's like, well, they got to pay him $80 million and all, Yeah, they do. You're 100% right. And they are not going to keep watching themselves lose to bad football teams. That is the bottom line.
I got a question for you. I saw him watch. I've watched him twice now. He's really ungood at his job. But a coach that we have not talked about getting a job next year, how about Tom Herman? Have you had to listen to him commentate a game yet? Because it is
no,
it is rough. Because
every game he's done, I've had it on. You know, he's been on one of the side TVs.
He's on like CBS. Is he terrible? He's terrible. I mean, just terrible. Oh. Like stumbling through stuff. I mean, I'm like, bro, dude, you ran a gigantic program. How can you not articulate a sentence in front of a camera that's right in front of you? I mean, come on now.
Because he's the same dude who went and got gold teeth because he had a bet with F or whatever.
Got some Paul Wall teeth. Got some Paul Wall teeth.
He's a moron. I don't have to know that he's listened to him to know he's a moron. I knew he was a moron when he was at U of H. I'm telling you, Mark. It is amazing how bad some of these athletic directors are at their job. I mean, how do you interview some of these people and you think, yep, this is the way I need to go. This is the guy. This is me. I'm going to stake my future and I'm going to pay this guy $50 million over the next 5 or 6 years. And, you know, and this is my guy. And he rolls in with fake gold teeth. I mean, serious. I mean, these are gigantic programs. I mean, I'm not talking about it happening at Texas State. I mean, Texas is a top 5 or 6 job. I mean, it is a huge job. And it's just, I'm telling you, just athletic directors, I think, are complete and utter buffoons. Because it's like a politician. It's not their money. So they're not tied to it. And it's never been their money. You know, it's turning into most of these guys are numbers guys now. They're finance guys and stuff like that, and you can tell most of them have never been around a football field unless they were cheerleading for it.
Oh, man. Scotty, we got a board this week I do not like a whole lot. Let's dive into this and get it done. I would tell you to be very careful this week because there are some games out there that I do not like, but we're going to put them out there and play them anyway. First one, Scotty, I want to go to is game 324. Florida State at home in Tallahassee will be laying 24 points against Ooh La La. Over-under is 52. Florida State scoring 34 points a game. They're giving up 18. They're 7-3 straight up, 7-3 against number 4-6 to the under. Ooh La La is scoring 25 points a game, giving up 21. They're 5-5 straight up, 6-4 to the cover, and they're 4-6 to the under. I'm telling you right now, Jordan Travis has turned into a pretty good football player, and Mike Norvell has done a heck of a job with this team. I like what I'm seeing here. Ooh La La is a disaster, in my opinion, and they're going to be massively outclassed on the field. I think Florida State comes in, lays the lumber to these guys. It's a big number in 24, but I don't see how Ooh La La moves the ball against Florida State. Ooh La La likes to run the ball. They're a bunch of play-action type stuff. They don't have the quarterback to do it that they've had in years past. Napier's a pretty good play caller. He's not there. Give me Florida State laying 24 in this one. I think they get it done.
Yeah, they have. Look, they've not been very good on the road. I mean, losing to La Monroe on the road was bad. They lost by 12 to Rice on the road. They'd lost to Southern Miss on the road. I mean, and candidly, Southern had a huge lead in that ball game. I mean, it ended up 39-24, but I mean, it was bad. It was a big lead. They got fairly close on a pick six is what stretched it out to make it that final number. But at the end of the day, I just don't think this team's very good. I think this is a workmanlike ball game for FSU. I think they drill these guys. I don't think this game's remotely close. This is a 49-17 game, something like that.
Next game, Scotty, let's go to the SEC, one of the few games that playing some SEC, South Carolina and Tennessee. Tennessee will be traveling up there to play them in Columbia. This is game 328 on your roster sheet. South Carolina is getting 21-22, depending on what line you're looking at, and the over-under is 66. Tennessee scoring 47.5, giving up 22. They're 9-1 straight up, 8-2 to the over, or 8-2 against the spread, 6-4 to the over. South Carolina scoring 28 points a game, giving up 26. They're 6-4 straight up and 6-4 to the over. Scotty, what are we going to get in this SEC matchup?
Points and lots of them, baby. Look, this South Carolina defense is not very good. They're really bad stopping a run, giving up almost 5 yards a carry. And this Tennessee football team really is explosive. I mean, they can move the football on a lot of people. Nobody but George has been able to stop this football team. I think that had as much to do with environment and the conditions of the field as much as it did anything. I thought Georgia had a great game plan against them. South Carolina just doesn't have the athletes to be able to do that. And that's going to be the difference in this game. I think we get lots of points. The over-under in this line is what I like. It's 66. You're going to get 50 out of Tennessee.
I believe you. Next game,
you know, and I think you get four TDs out of South Carolina. I think you get four TDs out of South Carolina.
Hey, let me ask you this. Different years. Let's sidetrack for a second. Different years, a lot of hype. Who had more hype that disappointed more? Spencer Rattler at Oklahoma, Will Levis at Kentucky?
Ooh, man, I've got to say Rattler because he was, you know, so highly regarded and he came out of the box pretty fast at Oklahoma. And that guy has just, I mean, flamed out. But
I'm talking about in the 1 year, though. I mean, Will Levis on somebody's board
was the number one draft pick. I want to know who was smoking. I mean, it's insane. Who in the world thought that? It's the same dudes that thought Malik Willis was going to play quarterback in the NFL. I mean, he may be a nice kid. They need to keep looking.
Yeah. I'm going to go Will Levis in that one. Scotty, next game, let's go Big Ten. 11 o'clock kickoff is going to be fucking cold. Illinois traveling to Michigan. Illinois has had a fantastic season. This is game 343-344. Over-under here is 40.5. Michigan's laying 18. Illinois is scoring 24 points a game. They're giving up 12. They're 7-3, straight up 6-4 against the number. 3-6 to the under. Michigan scoring 41 points a game, giving up 11. They're 10-0 straight up, 6-4 against the spread, and they're 2-7 to the under. Scotty, you know what this game reminds me of when I look at it? I mean, first off, the best player for Illinois is going to be out this week. If he's not out, he is hobbled for sure when you look at Chance Brown, the running back from this one. And he's just, you're going to have to rely on touchdown Tommy DeVito in this one and whatever Burt can dial up. But when I look at this game, they're going into Ohio State. I look at Michigan and what they're doing. It reminds me of Hacksaw Jim Duggan when he used to roll in WWF with a 2x4 and he's just ready to go and just get it done. I think that's what Michigan's going to do this week. They're going to come in and just take care of business and beat that ass and get ready for Ohio State next week. I think they're going to pound Illinois.
I think they're going to pound them. I think they're going to pound them because I think Illinois is really struggling. They've lost two in a row. And candidly have just not looked very good in either ball game. That defense gave up 31 last week, 23 the week before. Now you come in with the best football team that they played all year. I think this game gets away from them, fast. Michigan has put wood to everybody they play. I mean, it is impressive. And I must say I'm surprised, but do I know how good they are? No, I really don't. But man, they are putting it on people in the Big Ten every week, and I think that's exactly what goes on. That defense is good enough that I think they're really going to struggle. Is Illinois moving the football? And that's where Michigan gets these short fields, goes to work, and they get a lead and they put them away. Because at the end of the day, this Illinois offense is not a come-from-behind offense. You saw it against Michigan State. They couldn't even get anything going down the field against those guys. They're certainly not going to do it in this ball game in this kind of weather. I think Michigan pounds.
Next game, Scotty, 3:51. Let's go to Mikey Stadium, West Point, up on the Hudson River. UConn, bowl-eligible UConn. Let me put this in perspective to you. The last time most of you can remember UConn being bowl-eligible, they played in the Fiesta Bowl against the University of Oklahoma. You know who's not bowl eligible currently this week? The University of Oklahoma. They need to get another win so they can get bowl eligible. I would love to see a UConn-OU rematch from the Fiesta Bowl from years ago. UConn is traveling up to Army. Over-under is 43.5. Army's laying 10. UConn scoring 20 points a game. They're giving up 25. They're 6-5 straight up. 9-2. Against the spread.
There you go, baby. There you go. That's what I was getting at. Give him coach of the year, baby. Not just because he got him bowl eligible. That son of a gun may be about to go 10-2 against the spread.
Jim Moore, I don't even have to go through Army stats. We all know what we're going to get. They're going to run. This UConn team, bowl eligible. They may have partied a little bit too hard last week after they got bowl eligible, having to play this early game. I just hope they're not driving up there on Saturday morning like they're in a high school game with their they already got their pants on and their pads in their hands. But I think this
and a yellow dog.
But I think this UConn team, man, they're believing. Jim Mora, I love the story. I read a great story about him this week. He's living out on his ranch out in the mid, in the Pacific Northwest. I think Montana, Wyoming, somewhere up there. The athletic director flew out there, meet with him. He offered him $1.5 million to come coach UConn. He accepted the job, comes in, evaluates the program. Gets a roster together, gets a recruiting class, comes in. He's got this team bowl eligible. Here's my question for you before we talk about the handicap. If you're looking for a coach, do you have to go at least interview Jim Mora or at least give him a phone call at this point?
Yes, because say what you want. He's done every bit as good at UCLA. He did every bit as good as Kelly's done. Yeah. I mean, this is the first year they haven't been anywhere above average. I mean, seriously. Mora was not doing that bad of a job when they came. He really wasn't.
Ooh, man. Jim Mora getting another big-time job. Anyway, line here is Army minus 10. Give me the UConn Huskies plus 10. I think UConn covers this game. I think they win this game. Give me UConn on the money line, brother. I like the Huskies. Let's get it done. Let's get 7 wins on the season and get ready for bowl. This is their last game, man. Let's get ready for bowl season.
I love it.
Get ready for bowl season.
Because they don't have a bowl tie-in, obviously, being an independent.
No,
they have to get in a bowl game.
They need to win this game.
I mean, if somebody doesn't put them in a bowl game, I'm going to be pissed. I mean, totally pissed, because this team's totally earned it.
Give me UConn plus 10. Love it. Scotty, let's stay with the service academies. Let's go to game 357. Navy's traveling down to Orlando to the Bounce House. Over-under here is 53. UCF's laying 16. Line opened at 17. I got in on a little early. But anyway, Navy's scoring 23 points a game, giving up 26. They're 3-7 straight up, 6-4 against the number, 6-4 to the over. UCF scoring 36 points a game, giving up 20. They're 8-2 straight up, 7-3 against the number. I like the position of this game. UCF just had a big win that secured them a spot to play in the conference championship. Here they are playing a Navy team that's 3-7 straight up. Next week they got USF. USF is not great, but this is their biggest rival that they play. The War on I-4 is what they've got next week lined up. Not saying they're looking ahead to look past Navy, but who wants to win a big game to get into the conference championship? Then you got your rivalry game next week, and who do you get to play between that? You get to play Navy, and you're laying 17 points, a team that's just going to grind it out. And Navy's actually gotten better. We took Navy last week. They got us a cover. We've been on them a couple of times. Give me the midshipmen, brother. I think they get it done here.
Well, we all know, look, the key for UCF is if you're going to play them well, you got to stop them. And that running the football with the quarterback, and obviously this run defense is the strength of that Navy defense. So that at least gives them a shot, because all the pass game is set up off of the run and the RPOs and all of those things that Gus Bus wants to run. So be interesting to see how that shakes out. It's more of me. I like these numbers. Same thing we liked last week against Notre Dame. It was more of how big the number was. Probably not going to get UCF's best effort. And those kids at Navy always put out good effort.
Next game Scott, I want to go to is in the Sun Belt. What a great conference the Sun Belt's been this season. Marshall's going to Georgia Southern. Over under here is 52.5. Georgia Southern's getting 4.5. Marshall's scoring 24 points a game. They're giving up 16. They're 6-4 straight up, 5-5 against the number, and they're 2-8 to the under. Georgia Southern scoring 34 points a game. They're giving up 31. They're 5-5 straight up. They're 6-4 against the spread, and they're 5-5 to the under. I'm going to the under on here at 52.5. I think Georgia Southern is running out of gas. This team's had a great season. I don't know if they're going to get bowl eligible. They got the giant win in Nebraska. They're playing a Marshall team that's kind of been up and down, but Marshall can run the ball, and that's where I look for them to execute this week. I think they're going to run on Georgia Southern, eat up a lot of clock, just kind of grind this team out. And Georgia Southern, even though they've been explosive offensively in the past, if you go look, they've got some big injuries. Like, their two biggest receivers are out coming into this weekend. I'm taking the under in this game at 52.5. I don't think Georgia Southern's going to be able to put the points up, and I like the under at 52.5 in this one.
Well, you talk about, you know, what they're doing. They have lost two in a row, South Alabama and Louisiana Lafayette, and it's 3 out of 5. They mixed in a win versus James Madison, which I think was probably the shocker in this whole deal, or they would have lost 4 out of 5. It does feel like this team's reeling a little bit. Not that they've played bad teams, but this is also, you're talking about playing on the 19th, and they have not had, you know, they had the off week right at Halloween, and they have not played well since they came back from that off week. I do not think that this game sets up very well for them. Marshall is a keep it close, low scoring ball game. I don't think that Georgia Southern's got the ability to take it out on these guys, and that's why it goes under the 52 number.
Scott, that's 6 games we got on the board. We got a lot more to talk about, but those are the 6 plays we're going to put out. First one I want to go to, Scotty, UCLA, USC. I am so much looking forward to this game. When you look at this game, USC's getting 2.5 points over under, I think is around 70. Where are you going to go?
70,
this one?
I think it's 76.
76. Where are you going to go on this one?
I think it's going over because I think it's going to be a ton of points. But I have felt like all year this may be UCLA's year. And then they wet the bed on me last week. What could have been a gigantic game. But this does feel like, this is a year for UCLA to get it done. So I'm going to take the points and go with UCLA at home.
Ole Miss be traveling up to Vietnam. Vietnam's getting 2.5 at home. Can Ole Miss get this win as they head into the Egg Bowl to get to 9 wins?
I don't think so. I think quarterback is back for Arkansas. I think that's a big part of the ball game. It is going to be cold as balls up there. I have been up there this weekend for a ball game in 2015, and it was cold like this and nasty. And it was a total score fest with Dak Prescott and can't remember the quarterback for Arkansas, but they flung it all around the yard that night. And State blocked a field goal as time expired to win the ball game. So it was a great game. I'm expecting very similar game on Saturday night, even though it's going to be really, really cold. And I think Arkansas figures out how to get it done. Hogs got to figure out how to get it done. They're still not bowl eligible. They got to get a win one of these next 2 weeks to get in there. And I think they get it done on Saturday. A lot of it may be because Lane Kiffin may have his eyes on the Plains. He is certainly dabbling in that job. Let me say it like that. So whether it is just Jimmy Sexton trying to get him paid or if he's legitimately going to take the job, we'll find out soon enough. But that certainly has to be a distraction, for the Rebels a little bit. But I think Arkansas's run defense is good enough to pull it out on this. Their pass defense can be had. But the Rebels kind of getting banged up back there. And with it being that cold, I'll be interested to see how Jackson Dart responds.
I think this game goes under. Jackson Dart's a California kid. It's going to be cold as balls. Both these teams want to run the ball. I'm still not 100% sure KJ Jefferson's healthy. I'd go under in this game. Scotty, next game, being Waco, Texas, God's team playing at 11 o'clock against TCU. This line stinks. As much as any line stinks, you've seen. I mean, we've seen a few that were stinkers. This one's bad. Baylor's getting 2.5 against TCU. And I've had several people ask me about this game. And I tell them, it's like, you don't understand. It's like the Vegas power rating for TCU and the ranking do not match. They're not even close. And that was the reason for the game last week. But TCU's overcome that. They keep doing it week in, week out. How much gas do they got left in the tank? Can TCU go get it done against Baylor? Last year, Baylor had maybe a shot to play in the college football championship if they keep on winning. And Gary, best thing ever, my motherfucker got fired that week and still cut him in and put the offensive game plan in and coached against Baylor because he hates them that much. And they won the game. I hope TCU wins, frankly, and keeps their hopes alive because I'm loving the story. But this line stinks so bad. If you're going to bet it, I would take the Bears.
I am not taking – I'm not betting against TCU again until they lose. I have thought their run was going to come to an end about four times this year, and I've been dead wrong every time. So that's going to end for me this week. I'm not going to bet on this, but if I did, I would be taking TCU.
Utah traveling up to Autzen Stadium to play Oregon. Over under 60. Oregon's now getting 2.5. This line has moved 5 points since it opened. It was actually the other way around when the thing opened. Bo Nix most likely is not going to play. Cam Rising, I think this may be one of his last college games. Does he go up there and get it done against Oregon this weekend?
I think he does with Bo Nix out. But Autzen's a tough place to play. So it's that's going to be interesting to watch that game. Utah does feel like they're going to be good enough to go up there and get it done without their starting quarterback, though. And kudos to Nix, by the way. That kid has faced so much, hype. I mean, his dad was the quarterback at Auburn. He was a five-star guy. Goes down there. The team struggles. He struggles while he's there. You know, the kid's living his dream, and, fan bases in college football are just brutal.
They're fickle.
I mean, they're such nitwits. I mean, these idiots are direct posting players and, stuff like that. And I'm like, what's your jackass done? but it's fine. You want to get frustrated and you want to be a fan. Don't tweet at kids and be just a moron. Until you've gotten your Jake leg out there and done something. That just drives me nuts. But that kid had to put up with a ton of it. And then he gets the start against Georgia, and that game happened. Kudos to that kid for having the mental fortitude to just boom, to have this success he's had. because it takes a lot of perseverance to even be able to do what that kid's done. So kudos to him, because most kids would have packed it up. They'd have mailed it in, and good for that kid. I hope he gets back, gets healthy, and continues rolling forward.
Scotty, bands on the field, Stanford, Notre Dame. How would you? I mean, Stanford, Cal, how would you bet this game? Over-under is 46.5. I'm going to let you know right now, I'm taking the under. I think the final score is 17-7 in this game.
Yeah, I think it'll be low scoring, but I'll take Cal. I would take Cal on the points. But I agree with you. I think the smarter play may be the under.
Yeah, there's not much left on this board, man. The only thing I'd love to say is I would take UTSA to cover against Rice. Rice's pass defense is terrible. I think they're going to come out and get it done. I think LSU,
I do like UTSA this weekend.
Yeah, I think UTSA gets it done against Rice. But, man, it's going to be a good weekend. Do you think Texas A&M can cover 34 points against UMass?
I don't know if they can cover 34 points against anybody. But, I mean, UMass, if anybody, if they can do it against anybody, it's going to be these guys. I mean, that really is the deal. There's a couple of money line games I like. We already talked about UConn. I got a little bit of interest in Arizona in that money line. I got a little bit of like Arkansas in the money line. I got a little bit of love for Iowa in the money line. So there's some. I'm going to sprinkle a little money out there. I'll mix in a couple of parlays. I may just say the hell with it. Just go big and take 14 parlay and see how much money I can make.
Why wouldn't you do that? Scotty, it's been a good year. We're having a lot of fun. Everything's getting through it. We got next week. Next week, we're going to record on Tuesday night. We'll get it out there before all the games start. There is no Maction next week. And so we'll be out there before all the Thanksgiving Day starts, Friday games, Saturday games. I'm looking forward to it. We got a little bit of chaos. Scotty, but I got to say something before we get off the air. Congratulations, my friend. Because I believe that you won the Super Bowl of your 12-year-old football team, tackle football, this last week. You rolled him up like a donut. Scotty got it done. And he's been
rolled him up.
Been coaching that team up, my friend. Congratulations to you.
Thanks, dude, man. That was so much fun. It is one of those things that you're glad it's over, because, God, it takes a lot of time. But at the same time, it's been a lot of fun. One of the dads told me this, and I went back and did the numbers, and they were right. Those kids are 39-3 their last four football seasons playing. That includes flag and two seasons of tackle. That's pretty good. You know, pretty good group of kids. And last week we did it without my quarterback. We had a backup quarterback in and still drilled them. 18, got it 18-0, and it was fabulous. So I will tell you a funny story, though. So they give rings away, you know, like, and it the ring was pretty cool. It's like the Rams. It's like, you know, it had a removable, it was a magnetic deal. But they gave away second place rings to one of the parents of the kids. Posts, like, you read the post and you think the kid won, like they won the game. She's bragging about the kid and him playing, and he caught a pass and it got called back. Basically didn't happen. It's like, oh, he has this long pass play. Yeah. Well, yeah, he had a long pass play because he was an ineligible receiver. That's why he wasn't covered. but that's a whole different story. But they posted it and like so happy that he won a ring. I'm like, what? I'm like, dude, this is what is wrong with social media. It is exactly why, minus Twitter, I'm not on social media. Like, it's just, it's fantasy land. It's total fantasy land. I mean, it was hilarious. I read it. One of my moms sent it to me. He's like, what the hell is this? I'm like, I don't know, but that's pretty funny.
Folks, if you don't think Scott watches football, not only that, he coaches it on Saturday with his son. What a great season he's had. What a great season we've had. College football is fantastic. We got one more week to go, and then we get to conference championship. Scotty, you know what I got last weekend as a birthday gift?
What?
I got a ticket to the SEC championship. So I will be there singing neck.
Nice.
Suck that tiger dick, bitch, against Georgia in Atlanta. But what I'm more excited about than anything is that I get to go to the College Football Hall of Fame. And I briefly got to walk through it when it was in South Bend. And did you go to it when it was in South Bend ever?
I never did, no.
It was a little bitty building, and you literally were like walking down like a strip center, and it was like College Football Hall of Fame, and I didn't know what it was, and I was like, this can't be real. I walked in, had some great stuff, but I'm so excited about going to the College Football Hall of Fame, and my wife's like, what time are we flying out on Friday morning? I said, 7 a.m., and she said, is the game on Friday? I go, no, it's on Saturday. We're going to the College Football Hall of Fame, bitch. Come on now. We got to get some things going. You know,
it's hey, but you also got to get there in time for MAC championship, man.
Oh, yeah. And on Friday night when they're up there in Denver. I mean, we're up there in Detroit. Right. And I also got to stop by the varsity so I can get me a chili dog and get yelled at by all the people that work behind the counter. So I'm pretty excited about it. It's going to be good. Folks, have a great weekend. Let's get ready for Thanksgiving. We're going to do it right next week. We got so many great games. We still have the championships to come. We got bowl season. We're going to win some more money in there. It's going to be fun. With that being said, we're going to sign off this week. Hit us up at Scott Denson1, @NitMark. Give us some reviews. Love to hear from you. Bye.